Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Welcome, all you rockers, rockets, and everything in between. You have entered a new episode of And the Podcast Will Rock. We are the show that dives into the discography, the catalog of one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, Van Halen. I am one of your co-hosts, Mark Kamire. Join with me, as always, from the Great White North, Corey Morissette. Corey, dare I ask how the weather has been treating you?
It's not white anymore. It's very brown and muddy and gross, but we're very happy. Nothing is frozen anymore. We could actually leave the house. 2 weeks ago, I took my daughter to see Alice Cooper and Buck Cherry.
Nice.
In Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. We had second row. She caught two picks and had the time of her life. And this weekend, we're heading up to Saskatoon to check out ZZ Top and Cheap Trick. So I'm in a great, great mood tonight. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Can't complain. I don't have anything as exciting as seeing Alice Cooper in the second row or anything like that. You mentioned ZZ Top. That's going to be interesting. What is the lineup for ZZ Top right now?
Well, it's still Billy Gibbons and Frank Beard, mm-hmm. but their longtime guitar tech, a fellow by the name of Elwood, he's filling in for Dusty Hill, and apparently it was Dusty Hill's kind of wish that. Well, he was going off just to get surgery done, a while ago, and said, let Elwood fill in for me on these dates we have, and then I'll come back. And then, unfortunately, he passed away. So they're going to keep going with Elwood. He even grew a nice big ZZ Top beard. And he's been a guitar tech for him forever. So he knows all the songs, knows all the parts. And so he's going out on tour with them. And I can't wait. They still put on a great show from what I hear.
That's what I hear, too. So kudos to you. That's going to be super, super fun. Corey, speaking of super fun, it's always fun when you and I have these shows and we just go back and forth with one another because we're just two big fans of Van Halen and we like to talk about Van Halen one song at a time. That's the show. But it's even more fun when we can do it with company. And I believe we have company tonight, don't we?
We do. And this fellow is one of the first guys to reach out and say, hey, love what you're doing with the podcast. I'd love to be on the show. That was way back in February. And we said, absolutely, wow. Let's get you on the show. So here we are, end of April. He's finally here. Greg DePasquale, thank you very much for joining us here tonight. How's it going?
It's going well, and thank you very much for having me, gentlemen. I'm excited.
Oh, it's our pleasure. You wrote a great message where you talked about, Van Halen is the reason you kind of got into guitar and all that. And just you could feel the love of the band in the message you wrote. I'm like, oh, this has got to be one of the first guys we get on the show.
Oh, well, yes. Well, I appreciate that. I'm glad I was able to convey that that message, because that's 100% accurate. I mean, Eddie's the cradle of musical civilization for me, for sure.
That's awesome.
That cradle will rock.
Yeah, well, there it is. And there it is.
So this isn't your first time actually being on a deep dive podcast. Maybe tell us about your other appearances on other deep dive podcast network shows.
Well, I've done an appearance on Metal Gods, Judas Priest podcast, and I've done several appearances with the made in A to Z gentleman in Sweden. So yeah, I'm no stranger to the network. Love it. I mean, it's a haven for really anyone who wants to get dirty and get nerdy with their favorite bands, you know?
And you're also a big fan of the show that really kind of we ripped our format from, of course, Pot of Thunder. Recognized symbol of excellence in rock and roll podcasting. I truly believe that. Those guys are fantastic. And it's great to have another pothead on the show here
today. Oh, absolutely. 100% pothead over here for sure.
Awesome. And you're a musician as well, right?
Oh, allegedly.
Nice.
Now, on your better days, you maybe play a little guitar, right? Are you currently doing anything?
Yeah. I currently play guitar for Shadow Kingdom Records recording artist Fatal Curse, kind of more of like a traditional 80s style heavy metal band.
Awesome.
Right on.
Yeah, like Maiden, Priest, Raven, Diamond Head, you know, like new wave of British heavy metal. I would say if you were to pinpoint our style, probably somewhere between 1980 and 86, I guess.
Nice.
Yeah,
that is such a specific era. So, yes, I appreciate you getting so specific.
Well, yeah, we figure if it's if I give people a window, they can decide if they want to shut it or if they want to jump through it. I guess, you know,
that's very very good. Yes, well, we're obviously super happy to have you on the show. Glad that you also share a love for Van Halen as we do. To reiterate, you guys, all the listeners, we're not experts. We're not rock historians. We're simple fans who enjoy this band's work, and we're going to go through it one song at a time. So if, Corey, you got anything else?
No, I think that's about it. Well, last week, we touched on the big Van Halen news of the day, of course, and that was Jason Newsted dropping a bombshell about a tribute tour with Joe Satriani himself and Alex and David Lee Roth. And then David Lee Roth even threw out Steve Lukather and Pink as possible entrance to that as well. And then Jason Newsted got really mad at the reporter for printing that. So he said something newsworthy during a news interview and then got mad when they printed it. I don't understand how that works. But we have Greg on the show. I wanted to get his perspective. Would you be down for kind of a Van Halen tribute tour with Joe Satriani and company?
I think that even if... even though it would never be the same, I just think that the overwhelming, I don't want to use, well, I guess, yeah, I guess we could use the word star power or firepower of having someone like Joe Satriani stepping into those shoes and taking a swing at him. I mean, really, I could play it on both sides of the fence for that. I could see why people wouldn't want to see it, but I can also understand why people would want to see it. It'd be one thing if it was just like if it was me, like if it was just me or some other dude just that happened to fucking fall down a flight of stairs and wind up in Alex Van Halen's jam spot. And just, he's like, whoa, we're going to fucking go on tour with you, me and Jason Newsted and David Lee Roth and Pink. I can understand when people will be like, well, I don't want to see this shit, but you know, like it's Joe Satriani. I mean, he's so good. And as I had discussed with you gentlemen before we went live here, that, you know, some people would say he maybe is even too good for this type of venture. But you know what? I think that when the rubber hits the road and the bullet hits the bone, I think if those tickets come wandering down my path, I think I would probably be parted from my cash for sure.
Oh, yeah. It would almost the curiosity, I think, would be too high for me, because I absolutely get what you're saying about Satriani being a little too good. I think that's an accurate statement. But I know, like, if the tickets sort of wandered my way, say, you really want to go see this show, don't you? I go, well, yes, in fact, I do. Just, if nothing else, just to say, hey, I saw this thing once. But as I've mentioned on the show before, unfortunately, the time has come and gone for me to ever see Eddie Van Halen live. I never got to do that in my lifetime. And that's been just a huge, huge regret of mine. Just, I don't know, circumstances, life happens and things get in the way. And then unfortunately we never know how long we are going to be on this world. And sadly, I did not get to see Eddie before he departed. So
I think all three of us are rowing in that boat together. So,
right. Yeah. Well, there you go. And so we're not alone out there, and that's good. Yeah. But to say that, would I turn down the opportunity to see even this sort of like Frankenstein's monster of a, mm-hmm. of a Van Halen band put together? I think I would kind of have to go see that, if nothing else, to say, well, I did see that.
If you think about it ideologically, it almost is too poetic to not make perfect sense, because Satriani is also another guitarist who would then have time with both Dave and Sammy.
Right.
So.
Absolutely.
It'd be cool.
Tragic.
I think it'd be too. Yeah. You know, it's like, I'm trying to find a good analogy for it, but like, you never want to see a car accident, but you also don't turn away for it. And I'm not saying this would be, I'm not saying this would be a car wreck, but I'm saying this would just be too spectacular to ignore.
And they wouldn't be billing it as Van Halen. It's kind of like Queen and Adam Lambert or Queen and Paul Rodgers. I'm a huge Queen fan. I never got to see Queen with Freddie Mercury, but I caught the show with Paul Rodgers, and it was great. And I caught a show with them with Adam Lambert, and say what you will about the kid, the kid can fucking sing. And it was a tremendous show, but it's Queen plus Adam Lambert, Queen plus Paul Rodgers. This would be a Van Halen tribute, not trying to pass themselves off as Van Halen.
I agree.
Yeah, they should call it like Children and Elders First or something like that. I don't
know. You know, I would really love if they got Wolfie involved, because he was a Van Halen bass player, obviously, and Mammoth WVH is phenomenal. Like, if they opened every show of this tour, oh man, that'd be amazing.
Well, I think that that would be great, but I think that to not have Mike Anthony involved in this in some way would just
I'm saying Mike Anthony's got to be there. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, we're big Anthony fans.
Oh, I mean, it's, man, I don't want to really get too into the weeds of it, but I mean, if there was ever a dude who got done so dirty by his dudes in that band, it makes me upset. Well, maybe not upset, but it bums me out to hear, you know, kind of how it all shook out with him in that band, because he just always seemed like such a great guy. And I mean, those vocals, I mean,
there's much a part of Van Halen lore as anything, and I'm right there with you. I get kind of sick when I hear it too. And Mike Anthony maybe wins the award for the nicest guy in rock. Like, everybody says so, right?
He's
the earth, nicest guy on the planet. And I would absolutely want
him. He'd be a great hang. Like, he seems he'd be a great hang. Yeah, and, and like, he's just a dude that likes whiskey and hot sauce. And who doesn't want to hang out with people like that?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I like how he's like, he's so close to the vest on a lot of stuff. Like, there's that code of the road where, you know, in a generation of like tell all documentaries and tell all autobiographies, I think I just saw an interview he did where he said, I'm going to write an autobiography, but the stories, they go with me into the grave. Like he said, like all the salacious stuff, all the dirt, he goes, that stays on the road.
Yep.
You know,
He said,
and I respect that.
A week ago. Absolutely.
Yeah. It seems concurrent with the personality he had always put out there, which I admire that, you know, I admire that.
Yeah. 100%.
Cause I'm sure. I mean, he never portrayed himself as like to be as outlandish as Dave, certainly, or he definitely wasn't the super cut from the superstar cloth of Eddie, but that dude was in Van Halen between, you know, 76 and 84. So I'm pretty sure that dude has lived the life of a couple men for sure.
But you know, when you read like Noel Monk's book and stuff, they always talk about Mike would just kind of go back to his room with his girlfriend who became his wife. Like, he partied, but never on the level of the Van Halen brothers or David Lee Roth, right? So
that we know. Maybe he just kept it all under wraps. Maybe he just wasn't like a TMZ. I mean, that didn't exist back then, but he wasn't seeking that stuff out. I'm sure he had his.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
I'm sure Mike Anthony's had a taste of it.
It's all bass players are the low key, sneaky guys with their ability to hang and party, even if they seem like they're totally cool. Many a bass player I have known, just gotta watch out for bass players. It's fine. But yeah, there it is, man. Just sharing the love of Van Halen, no matter what form they take. It would be really, really interesting to see if this thing comes to fruition, but what Oh, you know what else should come to fruition? The show. We should spin the wheel and decide and decide what to, not that I'm not having a good time having this conversation, but you know, this is the show where we talk about what song is going to be. We have our handy dandy wheel in front of us. It's the spin of the wheel. But before we spin it, I have to ask, because I ask all the time, what song? Greg, I'll put it to you since you're our guest. Is there a particular song or maybe an album of which you want to manifest for today's show that you want to bring to our listeners' ears?
Well,
song in particular.
There's definitely an album. But if we want to get more specific than the album, I will give you the specific song on the album. And I would be tickled like an Elmo if it was Push Comes to Shove off of Fair Warning.
Uh-huh.
Fantastic. I would love it.
That is my favorite non-guitar solo song, Eddie Van Halen guitar solo.
I would be incredibly, incredibly excited to talk about that. So there we go.
So I'm sure, you know, with that being said, now that I said that, I'm sure it's going to be like Cabo Wabo or some shit like that. So,
hey, it's good tequila. I'm sure the song is grand on a re-listen. I don't know. We'll find out eventually at some point, if not tonight. Corey, what about you? Is there an album you want to sort of manifest, or do you want to get specific and have a particular song?
Well, I would not be upset at all if Greg's song hit, but I'm still in the mood for something, Dave. I was last week too. We had a Sammy track last week, a really good one for that matter, but I'm feeling something off the debut album. I would love to feel your love tonight. That if that came up tonight, I would be very happy.
Man, yeah. Just gonna, you know, if we land on Feel Your Love, I'm going to go ahead and tip my cap and say like, yes, it is absolutely what dreams are made of, because have you heard? Feel Your Love, people. If you haven't, you better hope we spin it, because I would love to talk about it. And eventually we will, if it's not going to happen tonight. I think I'm in the same boat. You know what, Corey? I think you kind of had me leaning towards a Roth tune last week as well. We got a great Sammy tune out of it, and I'm never mad about it. But I think, I think an early Van Halen, perhaps one or two. I think we need to hear one of those. But again, would not be mad if we get Greg's choice as well. Let's just manifest it as hard as we possibly can. Perhaps the wheel will be kind to us this week. Perhaps the wheel will do what the wheel do, and the wheel do whatever she wants.
She's been Sometimes really kind lately, us. Though. She's been really
she
kind.
She has.
Lately,
yeah. So is this going to be the moment where the wheel just stabs us in the back? I don't know, but we are going to find out. Corey, after you're done priming it.
I think I'm good. I hit shuffle a few times and it's resting on a Cable Wobble right now. So hopefully we don't hit that.
Well, then there's nothing to do now except to let Sammy take it away and spin the wheel.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Coming down to. Son of a bitch. How many say I from Van Halen 3? The worst choice.
We were so close. You want to talk about like a hair.
Yeah.
We were so close to light up the sky. And that would have made me very happy. And this is
when I said that sometimes the wheel do what it do, this is one of the times I'm talking about. Okay, like we tried really hard to get something we wanted to just have, but we have a guest on the show. We want to have a good time. We want the guest to have a good time, and we hope that the wheel is merciful. But this is the show. There is a wheel. You've seen it on Twitter, folks. And sometimes that wheel is just not kind. And we are going back into the territory of Van Halen 3.
To know something to be true and to deny it. How many say I? The wheel is not always just, but it is fair.
I'm so sorry, Greg. Like, you'll never want to come back here because the wheel just treated you so badly.
You know, I had that thought this morning. I was like, I was like, considering how much, like how Eddie, like how much he's meant to me, and really the band, I guess, it effectively has meant to me. Like, how funny would it be is if, like, well, if you, even if you go back to 5 minutes ago when I said my favorite non-guitar solo, Eddie Van Halen guitar solo, is When Push Comes to Shove. And now, of course, we pulled the fucking song that he's fucking singing on.
Yeah.
Like we pull the one song in the catalog where he's got the lead vocals. Just like,
this song, is,
you know, it's, to be fair, I know it's easy to shit on this song and this album, but yeah. I mean, it's not really, I mean, if you would ask me to pick a song, clearly this would not have been the one I picked, but I think this song kind of gets a bad rap. I don't think it's as shitty as people think it is. I'm not saying it's great, but I'm also saying it's just not shitty, as shitty as people say it's.
I'd say two of my favorite quotes from this song were cringeworthy and unintentionally hilarious. So,
well, if nothing else, yeah. we're gonna get a lot of entertainment, either based from the commentary we throw out or however structured this song is put together. I'll be honest with you, this one I have completely skipped, so this is going to be a new experience for me. I have to tell you though, I really hope, Greg, you're right. I hope there are things to like about it, because what I'm seeing here is this is not a short song.
This no, it's not
a long song.
6 minutes.
It's not
6 minutes.
This is a six-minute song. Really, so
I'm not a negative person. So I think you're going to really look back at my commentary and say, wow, he was really just overly filleting this song. And I'm really just trying to fill the glass halfway up instead of trying to drink it halfway down. And I'm trying to pump its tires. And maybe in retrospect, it makes me sound like an insane person. But, like, you know, it's just, well, just seeing what song was, just seeing where the wheel almost landed. Yeah. That's what, like, makes this so much cooler. Because when I saw it tick on Light Up the Sky, like, I was about fall out of my chair. Like, please, I was stop. About to just stop. Explode. I was like, please stop. And
it was so close. I mean, we'll have to show the spin on Twitter if we can, Corey, because I don't think the audience realizes.
I'll put this one on for sure. Because
I don't think people realize just how close this was. But
I just want to say, I think this is because of me. I think this happened only because of me. I don't think if you guys had never had me on, it would have somehow never, ever been pulled.
We don't. My first thought was, we got to get Greg back on because we're punishing him. His first appearance on the show, and we drew how many say AI.
But here's the thing, though. If I came here to get the glory, I'm also going to have to get, you know, pay the price of the gory. And if I have to do this to get back and maybe get a better song, I will do it. I will absolutely do it.
Last week, Mark, we had two people who can barely spell Van Halen. They don't listen to music, right? And we got Best of Both Worlds, one of my favorite Van Hagar songs. And then this week we get Greg on here, who's a big Van Halen fan, and we get, oh fuck, I can't believe it.
I mean, look, we kept talking about it. I think we jinxed it because we had mentioned how kind the wheel has been to us lately.
Yes.
And of course I said, like, I wonder if this is going to be the time, you know, because we have a guest on, and sure enough, I don't blame you, Greg. I blame myself and I blame the wheel. And as always, I blame the Cult of Mariano. I know they're behind this through and through because they always are.
Bastards.
You know what? I as much as I would love to blame the cult, I don't see how I'm not culpable with this. I feel like this is something that was that the day this album came out, I was destined for this moment 25 years later, however long it's been, 23 years later. I feel like this is just something that I've been, I think this has been predestined for me. I think this has been my fate. Someday I knew I was going to have to answer for this song, even though I didn't write it. I didn't record it. I had fucking nothing to do with it, but I knew somehow, some way I was going to be responsible for carrying this song at some point. And now here I am.
And now here you are on a podcast where we do nothing but talk about songs. So maybe, I don't know, maybe in your grand optimism of how this episode might go, this actually might be very good for all of us. This might be therapeutic in a way. We don't know. Well, or at least I don't know. I don't know what to fully expect, except for I don't have a lot of great optimism, but I have a little bit of optimism. So,
well, I'll tell you what, like, you can do what I'm doing, and you can, I don't know if you drink, but if you do, you should probably grab a stiff one, which is what I'm doing right now. And
I do, and I have a feeling, though, that this isn't going to quite cut it if this is as troublesome as I'm expecting.
This is what you might want to get. You might want to get something a little browner. And maybe just right out of the bottle.
Honey, bring forth the Jameson.
That's probably more of what I'm thinking.
There you go.
I'm sure there was Jameson involved in the writing and the recording of the song.
I would hope so.
I mean, I just can't even believe that this is the one, but I also can believe it too. So,
well, I mean, well, after that grand review, the only thing we can do now is bite our lip, swallow our drinks hearty, and plow through this song. This is not a short song.
I'm thinking back to everything I've said in the last 10 minutes. I probably sound like an insane person because I sounded out. I initially tried to make it seem like, okay, it's not that bad. And I've walked that back so far to where I've said, I've walked it back far enough to, you know, it's not that bad. It's not as shit as everyone says it is, too. I've already walked it back to just get the booze out.
Yeah,
I mean, you might be walking back even further depending on how this track goes. So again, because this is going to be pretty new to me, but I'm not exactly looking forward to it.
I'm gonna tell you right now, I haven't listened to this song since probably 1999, and I will it's burned into my psyche. I could listen to it right now as I'm going to. Like I just heard it yesterday.
That's great to hear, because as soon as this song is done and when we're done talking about it, it will probably stick with me as well. And boy, do I love that. So I can only hope that I find more to love about this track than I'm expecting. But Corey, what say you? Shall we just rip the Band-Aid off and get right into it?
Absolutely, Mark. Here is How Many Say I from Van Halen 3, released March 17th, 1998. Already Greg looks like he's in pain.
Basically, I'm just gonna tell you right now, I'm not even gonna wave my hands. I'm just gonna say that I'm gonna reveal myself just a liar. I'm because like maybe, you know, within 3 seconds I've already rethought the whole it's not as shitty as people think it is.
It's very just, much my, just from the very, ominous piano open. It's just like, oh no, I was wrong. I regret everything.
It very much might be as shitty as everyone says it is.
Well, good news, everybody. We only have 5 minutes and 59 seconds left to go. So we go.
All right.
Holy shit. I've already gotten to hate. I just said it wasn't as bad as everyone said it was, and within 5 seconds I've already gotten to I hate.
God, and you were so optimistic going into this.
It's not so bad.
I can't. But that's, you know, it has been, you know, 23 years since I've heard it probably, and so now I'm picking things up. I hate the ominous tone followed by the lilting major scale thing. Like, it's just like, that's just such bullshit. Oh man, this is gonna be bad.
Good news, everybody, we only have 5 minutes and 51 seconds left to go.
You're ever so silent when you wanted to talk.
Oh boy.
Why was this the record that they decided it was time for him to do this?
And this closed the record. This is the 12th track.
Yes, it was the very last song of the record.
It definitely sounds like a closing track, and you know, it's like we're tired, we're exhausted. This took a lot to make. Here you go. Here's our slow burner, and boy, is it a slow burn. Apparently, there's only what 5 minutes left.
Yeah, 5 minutes 3 seconds. We're almost there.
Can you? I feel like this quote is really all you need to say about this era. Can you imagine being Gary Cherone and saying, "Well, I've been in two bands, Extreme and Van Halen." And Van Halen was my least successful.
Yeah, Van Halen was second.
Successful as two bands.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. He sold more records with Extreme than he did with Van Halen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That is a strange and sad statement, but yes.
Say what you will about Extreme. Extreme.
I won't say that sad. I fucking love Extreme. And when I found out Sharon was going to be the new singer, I was actually stoked.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people were.
Absolutely. Yeah.
They weren't.
Well, who knew that he wasn't going to be the lead singer on every song on this record?
Also, yes.
Yeah. I tell you what.
All right, Corey.
Keep her going.
She couldn't keep quiet when she needed a hug. Come on. Strong when it looks too much. How many say I?
Jesus Christ. God bless you, Eddie, but I think Greg needs
you know
it. I'm remiss to speak ill of the dead, especially when the dead is Eddie Van Halen, but
I always think back to the Metallica documentary, Some Kind of Monster, where they talk to Lars's dad and he hears
delete that.
Shit. Yeah, just delete this. Yeah. This should have been deleted. Mark, are you digging it?
No, but part of my brain is still kind of going like, where is this going? And I'm afraid to find out where it goes, honestly.
I'm going to tell you right now, your brain is going to never get an answer for that question.
Oh, boy. Is it gonna stay like this the entire time?
I mean, I don't want a spoiler alert, but I mean, it's been a couple decades, but
it's been a while, yeah.
Spoiler right, alert to right. 22 years
I'm
ago.
I'm just mentally preparing because yeah, this opener is something.
And there's not enough therapy in the world for this kind of mental preparation.
All right, here we go.
Go on and say yes. Really mean no. Would you rather guess when you just don't know? And then you'd say I love you, but aren't you really sure? And I'm wondering how many say I. How many say I.
What band is this? This is not Van Halen. This is not like, and this is like the shitty Beatles.
There is
like I don't understand that, what's going on with this.
When Sharon enters the fray, they have a moment of we're just not quite hitting the notes.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm no musician, but we all made the same face when Sharon came. They were like, oh.
Yeah. Sharon was, I mean, listen, he's bulletproof, and I'm not gonna nail him to this cross, you know, but like he's not the one who's not hitting the notes here.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
You know, and you know, I will say dare I fill this glass halfway up again. You know, the one thing I do enjoy, and this also I think been maybe one of the bigger problems about Van Halen from a fan's perspective, is I do like that. I feel like they've neglected their legacy to considering the size and the magnitude that they had in stature they had achieved as a band. they've neglected their legacy probably more than any big band that has ever existed. And in a weird way, I mean, it's from a fan's perspective, it sucks for us. It blows, you know, but I feel like that there's a charm to that as well too, because Eddie, and probably to a lesser degree, Alex as well too, like maybe mentally, they never evolve past the we're just musicians. And they just happen to be just musicians that ended up being in, like, you know, one of the biggest rock bands in the history of rock and roll. And I don't think that their brains ever evolved from we're just musicians in the fucking bar in the club. I don't think they ever evolved from beyond that standpoint, which from a pure musical perspective, you have to give, I shouldn't say you two have to give, but I give that respect of someone who says, fuck it, we do whatever we want. You know, like, yeah, we're Van Halen and we've sold, you know, 100 million records or whatever it is, whatever the number is. It's more than all of us. But like, you know, like, I respect them saying, like us are like, well, what are you guys doing? Why are you doing this? Where is this going? And why is this even on the road to go there? Mm-hmm. But from a purely musician standpoint, just like, well, why do I give a fuck about what these people think? It's my song. It's my band.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're going to do whatever we want. And so from a purely artistic musical standpoint, I respect the shit out of this song. But then there's that thing of hearing and ears.
Then there's the enjoyment factor. It's like, yes. I don't enjoy it. I respect that you put this out. I don't enjoy the thing you put out.
Yes, exactly.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm just reading a quote here on this track, which was called an unusual acoustic piano ballad featuring Eddie on lead vocals and Sharon on backing vocals. Eddie declared he was forced into singing and added harmonies so he would not perform alone.
I refuse to believe that dude did anything forced.
Yeah, exactly. Ever. Yeah.
That's the problem.
Especially at that point.
Yes.
Maybe Dave was able to cajole him into doing stuff maybe he didn't want to do in, like, the first run with Roth. But, like, in 98, or this record came out in 98 or 99.
98.
Yeah, there's no one fucking pushing Eddie Van Halen to do anything he doesn't want to do.
Eddie co-produced the record with Mike Post.
Eddie produced a record with Mike Post on his property.
Yeah.
Maybe he was just really excited to put out this particular track for whatever reason, and he just expected Gary to sing it. And he expected it's like singing. Gary's like, I don't really want to do that. And it's just like, well, I'm not the singer. I'm not going to sing it, and nobody would do it. And he's like, well, then fuck it. I'll do it. It's like, oh, we're doing this song.
I'm pretty sure in 1998, if Eddie Van Halen says to Gary Sharon, hey, man, you're our singer now. Here's this piano ballad. Mm-hmm. Here are the lyrics. Here's kind of what I have in mind for the melody. Go for it. I don't think Gary Sharon's saying, fuck you, dude, I'm not doing this.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, Gary Sharon was 3 years out from Extreme being kind of cast into, and possibly unjustly, well, not possibly, definitely unjustly, cast into like the hair metal cutout bin.
Right.
You know, that band got discarded into the trash along with the Warrants and the Wingers of the world, which isn't right because they were definitely different and much more valid, I think, artistically speaking. But like, although I do like Winger, admittedly.
I don't mind.
Yeah, but like
17 doesn't age well, but that's about the only one.
Well, in more than one way. More than one way it doesn't age well.
Yeah.
But but at that point, I don't think Gary Cherone, who, you know, at that point, he's not turning that down. He's not saying, no, fuck you, I'm not singing this shit by myself. No, I guarantee you, if Gary Cherone had been asked to sing that song as the lead, he would have fucking done it. And he would have been great. Yeah. I don't know why he didn't sing this lead. Listen, I don't want to talk out of school and I don't want to fucking drop any bombs. It's going to shock anyone here. But Gary Cherone is a fucking way better lead singer than Eddie Van Halen is. I don't want to fucking shock people here, say something, you know, blabbermouth headline worthy, but like Gary Cherone shits all over Eddie Van Halen as a singer.
That's going to be on Blabbermouth next week because you said that, Greg. What do you say? Should we keep going?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably right. Should.
So quick to judge, slow to forgive when you're holding a grudge. Don't always believe all you need is love.
I just needed a break. How many times do you think they played How Many Say I live?
I'm going to venture a guess and say none.
According to setlist.fm, 7 times in 1998, they played How Many Say I.
7 times.
7 Jeez. Times. That's 7 too many. Can you imagine buying a ticket to a Van Halen show? And then Eddie and Gary just come out and Eddie Punk's down on the piano and this is what they bang out. Like we could be hearing Eruption right now. Instead, we're getting to this.
But I got to imagine that. There you go. Go ahead.
There you go. I was going to say, like, that's kind of what I was saying earlier is like before we kicked in live here, like because I never saw them live, I never have the memory of going to see them live and having them fucking roll out with Never Say I or something like that. You know, like I always have just the records and I'll never have the memory of, you know, sitting, you know, at the ass end of some amphitheater watching Gary Cherone and EVH sit at some keyboard or piano, them playing How Many Say I. Like I'll never have that memory and I'm thankful I don't, because there's 7 concerts in the history of Van Halen that have that memory.
But wouldn't you really want to have that memory? Because if you have that memory being at that show, that means that whole audience has that memory. And you all would have that moment where you're just turning to one another going, okay, we're doing this. All right.
That's a moment where you look at people who are, that's a moment where you look at the people who are sitting around you and you're like, how many of us are experiencing this right now? How many exactly. Say I?
How many?
But if you think about it, I mean, it's unique that there's 7 concerts full of people in this world that could say they are one of 7 concerts to have experienced this song. But who's fucking walking around bragging about that shit? No one.
That's, I mean,
maybe I'm Gary Cherone, sure. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe Gary. Maybe no offense to Gary. I know, a longtime listener. I know for sure. We apologize, Gary. But
he listens to the show.
I only in my dreams. But
if he does, cool. This is Gary. This ain't on you. This ain't
not at all.
Cross.
Yeah, we love
that's
you,
true. That's yep. Yeah. We've talked about it before when we did a Gary tune. It's like, look, we're not haters on Gary Cerrone as a musician at all. I Gary, love Extreme. We all love Extreme.
Gary, you rule, and Song for Love still smokes to this day.
Yeah. Fucking yeah, right. Very, I love Song for Love. Pornograffiti is like top to bottom one of my favorite albums of all time.
There you
go. They were gonna be the queen of the 90s.
Yep.
But
100%.
Van Halen 3.
I knew I liked you, Greg. Just... You're fucking awesome.
we love you, Gary, but Van Halen 3 was a miss. So chalk that up to what it was.
I'll tell you what, in 98, Van Halen performed 81 concerts. And they did this song 7 times. That should tell you something. It probably they probably busted it out early and it fell so flat. They're like, we got to fucking replace it with something.
Let's get rid of that one.
Yeah.
I will give them credit though. If you were ever going to see Van Halen live, that was probably the era to see them, because from all I've seen from the set list, that was the best balance of the Sammy and Dave eras, but you weren't going to get either of those with Dave singing, and you weren't going to get it certainly with Sammy singing.
Oh, fuck,
the Gary Cherone era had the best set list.
Yeah, they did Mean Street. They ain't talking about love, Panama, all the big hits right now. Yeah, they mixed the Sammy and the Dave almost right down the middle, right? It was
I can say I have heard a live just on audio, a live show of Sammy doing Ain't Talking About Love, and it's great.
It's fantastic.
It's so good. And it just makes it sort of just solidifies my whole thing. It's like, look, Sammy's the better vocalist. I don't know why we're having this argument.
You now imagine Gary Cherone doing Humans Being 74 times on that tour. That'd be fucking phenomenal.
I think he would have nailed that.
Absolutely.
I think Gary Cherone probably would have nailed any song they threw at him.
You know, they did Romeo Delight, Dance the Night Away, Feel Your Love Tonight, I'm the One. And then they did Hagar tunes like Dreams. And then
did you ever see the video of them in Japan on that tour, and Cherone, he wanders into the crowd and then he throws himself down the flight of stairs in the stadium. He does like a stuntman thing where like he goes into the crowd, walks up the stairs, he sings, and then he throws himself down the stairs and then lands at the bottom, pulls the microphone back out and gets right back into it. Like that dude was he was willing to break bones and bleed to be the singer of that band. And he was going to sing everything. He's going to sing the shit out of everything, including Never How Many Say I 7 times, allegedly, or apparently, you know,
only 7. Seven was the limit.
Yeah. He was going to sing the shit out of anything they gave him, and he was going to be awesome. And I really think he got a bad break.
Yeah.
He did. And again,
I didn't say a bad break.
Yeah.
Great break.
Great break. Yeah. Great break. Just a bad rap. Yeah. But respect the hell out of you, Gary, as a musician. But as I said, this album just does not land the mark. But we might as well keep trucking through all the say eyes.
We only got 3 minutes to go.
Oh, my God.
Part of the song. Best part of the song. I will say this part is good. Part is very nice.
It's almost like it's restarting.
But it's great because intro. There's no vocals. There's no vocals right here. It's just beautiful music.
We got lovely strings here playing.
Well, in that case, let's enjoy the instrumentals then.
As a piece of music, that's quite lovely until you get to the Law and Order fucking.
Exactly. They went back to Law and Order shit. Exactly. That's perfect.
That's a perfect man.
Ominous tone.
I was just enjoying the modulations of like the sort of the number that Eddie was doing on piano there, and then I feel like the SVU is going to pop in any second now, and it's just like what.
like forgetting Sarah Marshall, that movie. It was like, I don't write music. I just do ominous tones.
Dark, ominous tones. Yeah. Yes.
But the transition from this lovely piece of music performed nicely by the string section there, and then the dun-dun.
Ah, it's shit. It's total
part of me,
shit.
Total part of me thinks it's a way of them kicking into something like heavier and like rocking out and to finish the tune out. But I have a feeling that's not what's going to happen.
Well, it's I'm going to quote Brad Delp, and I'm going to say it's more than a feeling.
Nice. Let's find out, Mark, shall we?
All right.
Greg, on your TV back there, you got a Golden Knights Blackhawks update. Are they playing tonight? What's the score? Do you know?
Yes, they are playing tonight. It's 3-3 going into the second intermission.
All right, go Vegas.
Golden Knights, they need to – well, they need Dallas to not get any points.
Yeah.
But obviously I'm in Buffalo, so I'm really pulling for the Knights to not get anything. We had to deal with that whole Eichel nonsense. So.
Gotcha, yeah.
Oh, boy.
I just wanted a distraction because
this track is not getting better. I was kind of hoping it would get better. It's not.
No, well, yeah, I mean,
free from the shit with the string section, and then the da dun hit, and you just knew
that they had that middle section, which is just beautiful. And then yeah, they went back to our dark, ominous tones, which is just like, to me, that's almost like it's a reverence for the sake of a reverence, which is just like, it just, it's interrupting is what it is. It's disruptive.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, to me, that seems almost, it's almost anti Van Halen, if you think about it, because they were always very, at their best, they were always compartmentalized. Like when he wanted to be reckless, it was reckless and it was appropriate. They never were inappropriate, really, except for like this song. Yeah. Like the beautiful stuff was just beautiful, and they never fucked with it. The beautiful stuff was just a perfect panoramic, just picture of just beautiful music. The reckless shit was just falling out of the windows, up on two wheels, off the rails, wild rock and roll. And this is just like, I don't, it's the CD era. They had time to kill. They had 79 yeah. minutes they could fit on this disc. So they're like, well, fuck, might as well just do this bullshit piano ballad.
We need you to waste 6 minutes yeah, and 4 seconds. Eddie, you think you can do it? Like, yeah, I got yeah. you.
Well, and that's a great call. We'll slap it
at the end of the record, yeah. So no one has to hit the skip button.
Yeah, just throw it yeah. at the end. Yeah, it's fine.
But this
it's
record fine. Is 65 minutes long. That's a great point, Greg, because they could yeah. fill it. It's the Ian Malcolm line from Jurassic Park. Just because you could doesn't mean you should, right? Like
you could argue that the CD era of music was really the dawn of filler, because they had all this time, you know, in the vinyl era, they had those early event, the Roth part one era, mm-hmm. It's the vinyl era. Those records were like 30 to 34 minutes long.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, 16 to 17 minutes aside, there was no bullshit. It was just compact. We're going to give you the best of the best. And because we don't have the space to fucking give you more, you know, we're not going to waste your time because we don't have the money to waste to slap on another vinyl onto this, mm-hmm. you know? And then once you have the digital medium, the CDs, we're like, well, we have 78 and a half, 79 minutes to get on this. So let's slap
whatever we want on it. Yeah.
Fill it up. Let's fill it up. Fuck it. And they fucked it.
There's a thing we do with the songs that we discuss on the show here. usually Corey takes the lead on this one, but I'm going to go ahead. Corey, I don't know if you've been following the lyrics of
oh, yes.
How many yes. say I, but man, I don't know. Did Eddie write these lyrics?
I'm going to
say yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to say yes.
Yeah. Like all just, songs on this album were attributed to Eddie Michael, who barely plays on the album, right? Gary.
And, yeah, I didn't think Mike played. He even played on this record, right?
He played on like three tracks, I think.
I know he did his backup vocals, but as far as his bass, that was always in question, I thought.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which sucks. I think that that feels so slimy and greasy. You know?
It really does. And like you said, like ever since 1984, they shit on this guy so much, and it's so unwarranted. But you know, he's willing to give up his publishing, willing to take a pay cut to go on tour with the guys because he just liked being a part of Van Halen. He's a rock star. It's unfair.
They literally have the line "All you need is love."
Yeah, great.
Muted again. So. So I'm just going to go ahead and say that my assessment at the beginning was correct. This is their Beatles-esque attempt.
Well, I don't know if Paul McCartney would appreciate that.
Probably not, but you know, it is what it is. Okay.
Mark, I liked your shitty Beatles reference back to Wayne's World when they asked Meatloaf, shitty Beatles, are they any good?
Yeah. Meatloaf said, they suck.
They totally suck.
All right.
I was hoping somebody would get the reference, but yes, let's keep going, please.
All right, a minute 34 to go. Here we go.
Have you ever looked down when a homeless walked by? Change the channel. Be sorry, child.
Well, have you, Mark? Have you ever looked down when the homeless walked by or changed the channel? When you saw a hungry child, have you?
Yeah, because I don't want to hear Sarah McLachlan sing at me when we're looking at sad, you know, sad children or sad puppies and things of that nature. Like, get off my TV screen, Sarah. Stop it. And
can you imagine if they replaced "I Will Remember You" with this song?
Have you ever?
I can.
Those commercials?
I can. I can imagine it, and I don't want to, but I can.
Something to be true and then deny it. How many say I? How many say I? How many say I?
Back to Dark Ominous Tones.
I love the Law & Order bump. Fuck off.
It sucks. It's so bad.
It's still going.
Is this the worst song?
I feel bad saying this. Like, if Wolf Van Halen ever hears this, I apologize. I've never, ever mean any disrespect to your old man, but like, this song, I wish it didn't exist.
Oh, God!
But also...
You said it, Dave. Yeah.
I wish it didn't exist, but at the same time, I'm glad it does exist, because oftentimes you can't tell where the peaks are until you're staring up at it from the valley, you know.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, you know what? I'm gonna jump right into it. Corey, I'm just gonna straight up ask you. I already know the answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway. With all that we've heard, with all that we've discussed so far, would you say that "How Many Say I" is what dreams are made of, or is the dream over and there are no many I's to say?
Well, I tell you, I gave it after careful consideration. Dream, like I was looking forward to this night so much. And I get to hang out with my friend Mark, and I knew Greg was coming on. I was really looking forward to that because I heard your shows on Maiden A to Z. I'm like, oh, Greg knows his shit. This is gonna be fantastic. We're gonna roll something great.
We were so close. We could have had light up the sky. We were so close.
But the dream is absolutely fucking over. Greg, our special guest who willed this song on the wheel here tonight for us here, I 100% blame you. is the dream over, or is this what dreams are made of? Give me a thumbs up or thumbs down.
This is certainly it's what nightmares are made of. So I would say the dream is definitely over.
What more can you do? It is.
I mean, yeah, that's. Yeah. And so it befalls to me, gentlemen, to tell you that despite all that we've heard, despite all that we have said, and despite my initial feelings on this, I must tell you.
You had me worried.
I must tell you that I have to agree. I have to absolutely agree with the both of you. This is, I said it at the beginning, this is not, I don't know what band this is. I have to reiterate what Greg said. I respect the entire band, their musicianship. I respect that the fact that they even created this song. When I say they, I mean Eddie. I respect the fact that Eddie decided this was going to be the way we're going out. Despite the circumstances, whatever they are, if I was more of a historian, man, I could tell you factual information. But instead, I can only give you my my rough guesstimations. And my rough guess is Eddie just wanted to try something different. And kudos to him. More power to him. Cool. Congratulations. You did it. The problem is it doesn't come out very good. It's not, this isn't good. I'm sorry. It is possible that even people you think are perfect and unstoppable and bulletproof in the sense of they can do no wrong, sometimes there are cracks. And
I'm going to say something that I'm sure anyone listening is probably just going to groan or, you know what would have made this song better? If someone said, you have this song and you can't undo it, it's already been done. Mm-hmm. But you have one chance to make it better. What would you do to make it better? I would replace Eddie's voice with Nuno Betancourt's.
Oh, yeah.
I would make Michael Anthony do the harmonies.
Or that. Yeah.
The harmony would have been a lot better. Absolutely. Yeah.
If they had removed the ominous tones, the unnecessary ominous tones, and replaced Eddie's voice with Nuno's, it probably would have been a fucking top tier extreme song.
Very well could. Yeah.
That's a, I mean,
the lyrics are still stupid.
I might get kicked off the internet for this.
Oh, this will be our last episode. I have no doubt. Everyone's going to come down on us. They're going to say, how many say I is an actual Van Halen classic? We don't know what the fuck we're talking about.
I think the FBI is circling my house right now.
Yep, here they come. Yeah, it's just like, you dare besmirch the name of Van Halen with this. No. Yeah, if they're coming for you, they're coming for all of us. So
I have to say, I love Iron Maiden a ton, and I shit all over them for Don't Look to the Eyes of a Stranger. And I just,
oh, that's the one you did.
Yeah, that was the first one I did, and it was a shit all over that one. And this is, I guess this is just my trial by fire for these podcasts. This is, well, how bad do you want to do these podcasts? Well, we're going to give you the fucking worst material.
So it's a clean sweep over here. Yeah. Yeah. We apologize to our guest Greg. But look, as I say every week, man, it's all the spin of the wheel, and sometimes she is a cruel mistress. This time she was just straight up cruel because, oh dear God, this is not a banger. This track. This is not that one that is going to go in the upper echelon of Van Halen tunes. We have discussed songs that I would consider belong up there in the upper tier. This is not one of them. This, I think, by far is the worst one we have done. However, you guys, there are so many more tracks that we still have to get through. There are plenty of, I'm sure, a dumpster fire of songs that even the mighty Van Halen are not immune to that are coming our way. I like to tease Corey all the time that as soon as we get to more of For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge, there's going to be ones that he specifically does not want to discuss. I can't wait to get to that just to see his reaction. Seeing the reactions out of these two gentlemen for this song was a treat in and of itself. That's the enjoyment I got out of this episode.
I would listen to Spanked 50 times in a row before I listen to How Many Say
I would too
ever again.
I would too. Man on a Mission, whatever the worst track on For Unlawful is, I would listen to it 100 times in a row before I would listen to this song again. Yeah.
Oh man, Corey, do you realize what we've just done?
Oh no, what
we've done a lot of bad things.
But it's very possible this might be the lowest that we go.
I think it might be.
This might be the lowest. Like even the ones that we might not consider to be the dream is not what dreams are made of, but not as bad as How Many Say I. Maybe this is the lowest.
I really dislike Can't Stop Loving You. Like a lot.
Oh wow. Okay.
And I think I would put this song below that.
No. that's what I'm saying. Like I think maybe we've gone the lowest we can go as far as these is Van Halen tunes go. So
I'm glad to hang out with you guys and meet you at rock bottom.
There's nowhere to go but up. There's nowhere to go but up.
Thanks for slumming it with me tonight.
We're totally that's exactly what this was. Slumming it. So yeah, it's only uphill from here. Maybe some of the climb gets a little bit harder depending on the song, but it's all uphill. I think I can't possibly foresee, and this might be my dying words. I can't foresee it getting any worse than this. And there we go.
Considering I said earlier, like I joked, I was like, well, I want when push comes to shove, so I'll probably get Cabo Wabo. Man.
Well, you're wishing for that.
Where's Cabo Wabo when you need it?
the winds of fate just blew it right into my face, saying, "Oh yeah, I bet you wish you had some Cabo Wabo now."
Yeah. The wheel said, "No tequila party for you, none for any of us." But again, that's the way the show works. That is a newest edition of the show. But before we go, it's once again, Greg, thank you. I know this was not probably the this was not the song you expected to talk about. This was not the show you were hoping for.
In a way, this was when push came to shove.
Yeah.
So well, there you are. But regardless, we appreciate you listening to us. We appreciate you hanging out with us, being a part of this, adding your colorful commentary with us, because that's just the kind of thing we do. If you want to, please plug yourself. Let the people know where they can find you on the socials.
I don't know if I can plug myself worse than this song has. I don't even know.
The song has melted your brain.
My band is Fatal Curse. We sound nothing like this song. If you like, if you like 80s heavy metal, check us out. Don't hate mail me for not liking a Van Halen song, please.
But if you want to, his Twitter.
I love Van Halen. If you want to, I'm at True Gregadeth on Twitter. If you want to fuck with me or argue with me about how much I dislike this song, despite my initial feelings of I got a bad rap. No, I've walked that back entirely. I've Homer-gif myself back into the bushes on my initial statement. This song sucks. It blows. Sorry, Eddie. Rest in peace. I love you. You're the reason I play guitar. I fucking love Van Halen. This song stinks.
Don't worry, if any of our listeners like really really just want to talk shit about you, we'll hear about it. You won't. They'll hate mail us to death. It's fine. I enjoy it. I get a kick out of it. Corey, where can the good people find you to tell you how much they love this song?
If there's a human being on the planet that is going to defend this song, please let me know at CB Morissette on Twitter. At Podcastable Rock is the show Twitter account. I can't imagine there's a fucking human being.
But that's what makes us humans being.
There you go. Shine on, my friend.
Shine on.
Yep.
You realize what you've done with that. You know who the person, the human being on this earth that's going to come around and go, I actually enjoyed that song. You know who it's going to be.
Is it Mariano? Yeah.
Yes. You're just feeding the fire to the cult.
We're feeding the monster, if you will. And you know, I just want to do one thing. I brought the wheel back up. I want to spin it. This isn't going to count. What would have been the spin tonight? This is the second spin of the night. Would we have gotten anything better? We would have got Black and Blue from OU812.
It would have been better.
Would have been that much better.
Well, it would have been.
I mean, yes.
It would have been Sammy level bad. You know, Sammy had a tendency to, well, especially if it involved the ladies, to just puke out some just fucking cornball lyrics. But yeah, I would have taken Black and Blue for sure.
I think Dave and Sammy were both guilty of that. But you know, based on recent studies, but you know, it is what it is. Don't forget, you guys, you can find us at andthepodcastwillrock.com. We have all the episodes. We got merch. Get yourself some hoodies, maybe some tank tops. It's getting warmer out there if you're in my neck of the woods. Get you a t-shirt, get you whatever you need, man. We've got you covered. We will not have how many say I merch unless we can find some really clever way of parodying that. We'll workshop it. We'll see. We'll talk to our buddy Scribbs. He's good about that.
How many?
You know what? After this episode, it might be a case of how many say bye to never listen to this fucking podcast ever.
There you go.
And if that's the case, then get at me at Mark the Bat on Twitter and Instagram, because I love it when people come at me and tell me how much I've missed the mark, so to speak. Thank Ooh, you for
nice
that.
Pun.
Thank
I
you
like for, that.
I know. Yeah, fun. Yeah. I mean,
it's
I get
funny because that's
get
your name.
Yes, and be on the lookout for my memoir soon. Mark was way off on this one. Thank you for that title, Twitter person. Wasn't even going to shout him out, but there it is. So. That's a new episode. You know how it is. We love the band. We love Van Halen. We love talking about it. Sometimes the wheel does not love us, and so we have to talk about a song that we don't love, but that's the part of the fun of the show. In spite of it all, I had a great time. So thank you to Greg for joining us again. As always, thank you, Corey, for being here. Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to subscribe. Share us around. Be sure to check out the Deep Dive Podcasting Network. You got everything you could possibly want in rock podcasting, I would say. You'll even hear our buddy Greg and some other shows, A to Z Iron Maiden, for example. So there you are. And you'll be hearing some more guests on our show. We've got them all booked up. It's going to be a blast. Hopefully better songs in the future. Like I say, it's only upwards from here. At least I certainly hope so. But that is the show. We are, and the podcast will rock, and we will rock you later.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.